दया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी चन बला Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Shripad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Stataya Sata Shri Srimad Srila Isi Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnipad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Stataya Sata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Anant Koti Vaishnavindu Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to the lotus feet of Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Okay, so today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Description of the Varnashram System, Text 40 and 41. So I thought we could chant the 40 together, and then we'll do 41. Okay. Ija jayana danani sarve sham chatri janmanam Pratigrahodyapanam cha brahmanasyaiva yajnanam. Translation. All twice-born men, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, must perform sacrifice, study the Vedic literature, and give charity. Only the brahmanas, however, accept charity, teach the Vedic knowledge, and perform sacrifice on behalf of others. Purport. All civilized men must participate in sacrificial performances, give charity, and study the Vedic literature. The best of the twice-born, namely the brahmanas, are specifically empowered to lead sacrificial performances on behalf of all members of society, teach everyone Vedic knowledge, and receive everyone's charity. Without the assistance of participation of qualified brahmanas, the lower classes cannot properly study the Vedic literature, perform sacrifices, or give in charity, because they do not have the required intelligence to perfectly execute such functions. When kshatriyas and vaishyas take shelter of bona fide brahmanas, they are able to properly execute their respective duties, and society functions smoothly and efficiently. Text 41. Patigraham manyam manas. Tapas teja yasho nudam. Anyabhayam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Pratigraham manyam manas. Tapas teja yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Pratigraham manyam manas. Tapas teja yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Anybody want to have a shot? Tapas teja yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Pratigraham manyam manas. Tapas tejo yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Anybody from the... Pratigraham manam manas. Tapas tejo yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Pratigraham manam manas. Tapas teja yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Pratigraham manyamanas. Tapas teja yasho nudam. Anyabhyam eva jiveta. Shilarva dosha driktaya. Pratigraham. Accepting charity. Manyamana. Considering. Tapa. Of one's austerities. Teja. Spiritual influence. Yasha. And fame. Nudam. Destruction. Anyabhyam. By the other two. Teaching Vedic knowledge and performing sacrifice. Eva. Indeed. Jiveta. A Brahmana should live. Shilai. By collecting rejected grains in the field. Va, or dosha, the discrepancy. Drik, seeing. Tayo, of those two. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Shri Prabhupada. A Brahmana who considers that accepting charity from others will destroy his austerity, spiritual influence, and fame, should maintain himself by the other two Brahminical occupations, namely teaching Vedic knowledge and performing sacrifice. If the Brahmana considers that those two occupations are compromised, will also compromise his spiritual position, then he should collect rejected grains in agricultural fields and live without any dependence on others. A pure devotee of the Lord should always remember that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will personally take care of him, as the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita 9:22. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariyupashyate tesham nityavayuktanam yogakshemavyaham aham. But those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. A Brahmana should not become a professional beggar for his personal maintenance. In India, there are many so-called Brahmanas who sit at the gates of important temples and beg from everyone who comes and goes. If someone does not give a donation, they become angry and chase that person. Similarly, in America, there are many big preachers who collect huge amounts of money by begging on television and radio. If a Brahmana or Vaishnava considers that being a professional beggar is weakening his austerity, destroying his spiritual influence, and giving him a bad reputation, then he should give up that process. One may beg everyone to contribute to the cause or the personality of Godhead, but one will be diminished in austerity, influence, and reputation by begging for one's personal livelihood. A Brahmana may then take up the task of teaching Vedic knowledge and performing sacrifice, but even such occupations do not bring one to the highest platform of trust in God. A Brahmana who teaches as a means of livelihood may often be curbed in his teaching, and one who performs sacrifice may be manipulated by materialistic worshippers. In this way, a Brahmana may be placed in an embarrassing and compromised position. Therefore, a high-class Brahmana or Vaishnav ultimately will depend completely on the mercy of the Lord for his maintenance. The Lord promises to maintain his devotee, and an advanced Vaishnav never doubts the word of the Lord. Amagyana timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshurn militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So I thought I'm going to give class on this and then speak a little bit about Ramanujacharya because it's his disappearance day today. So the first verse about that all the twice-born men, they study the Vedas, they give in sacrifice, and they give in charity. And they must do that. And that's the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas. But what sets the Brahmanas apart is that they also teach the Vedas, and they can perform sacrifice for others. Because in the Varnashram system, the Varnas, different parts of society perform different Varnas, and they also have their do's and don'ts in each of those. So the Brahmanas, they can accept charity. A Kshatriya cannot accept charity. He can accept taxes from people, but not charity. We see in the Vedic culture that the kings would always give in charity when there was some sacrifice or something was happening, like when Nanda Maharaj, even the Vaishyas would do this. When Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna was born, he immediately gave in charity to the Brahmanas. That was his first response. And how do they know to do this? Is that they're all trained in the Vedic scriptures, not just the Brahmanas. All the three classes, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, they all are trained in this. So society, there's intelligence. And I was thinking by reading the Bhagavatam, you get the understanding that, at least I get this understanding, I might be mistaken, that the Brahmanas are there to give the fine details of what should be done in certain circumstances. I was thinking like Ambarish Maharaj, when all these sannyasis came, Durvasa Muni, and he'd been fasting for so long, and his fast was coming to an end. And they said, oh, we're going to take our bath now, so we'll be back. He was in a situation where he didn't know what to do exactly. He knew that he shouldn't eat before serving the guests, but then he also knew that he should break his fast. So then he went to the brahmanas to ask, what should I do? What should I do? What finer detail is it that I need to do to make this perfect? So in this way, the brahmanas are there to advise everyone in society, but they also have to keep themselves strictly. And in this second sloka, it explains how they perform sacrifice for all the people, all the other classes of men, and they teach Vedic knowledge. But I remember there's a walk that Srila Prabhupada was talking about Varnashram, and he was saying how the brahmanas don't just teach Vedic knowledge, they teach all subjects. So that's why, like Dronacharya, you see him, he was teaching Kshatriya, he was teaching how to fight, how to use weapons, but he was a brahmana. But here it says that they have to be a little careful not to get caught up in this, because you see Drona, even though he knew that he was on the wrong side, because he was being given pay by Dhritarashtra, then he was stuck on the side of Dhritarashtra for fighting. So in this way, even Chanaka Pandit, when he was asked to come and live in the kingdom, he said, no, I'm living outside the kingdom. And why is that? That is so that they can give real knowledge. They don't have to pander to the whims of the person that they're giving information to. They can tell it like it is, so to speak. You know, they don't have to feel bad. They can tell them, no, you're a fool. You're doing this wrong. You know, this should be done like this. But if they're being paid and kept, then they have to pander to that person's whims. Oh, okay, you don't want to do it like that? Okay, do it like this. You see, so they have to keep themselves very strictly. So there was two things that I was thinking in this sloka, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, that one time there was an acharya, his name was Arjunacharya, I think Prabhupada tells this story. And he was doing a commentary on this Bhagavad Gita. And when he came to this sloka, he kept thinking about it. He says, well, Krishna doesn't come personally and carry what one lacks. So he scratched it out. And he went off to have his bath. And his wife was getting ready for his lunch. And these two boys came with all of this boga for her to cook. And she said, oh, you boys are so beautiful. Who is sending this? He said, oh, your husband. He has sent me with this for you. My husband? He has sent this with me? Yes. And at first we said we wouldn't carry it. And then he beat us. Look, he beat us. He said, my husband, he is not so cruel. Why can he beat you beautiful boys? And then they went away. So then she carried on. She cooked this nice meal for her husband. And when he came back, he said, where have you gotten all this beautiful prasad from? He said, oh, these two wonderful, beautiful boys came here carrying all of this boga and said you had sent them to and when they didn't want to do it, you beat them. And immediately he thought, ah, this is Krishna carrying what I lack. He's showing me. This is really what I mean, that I carry what you lack. So the brahmanas and all Vaishnavas actually have to think, that is Krishna. Whatever situation we're in, Krishna makes the arrangement. Oh, that was the beating, yes. That was the marks of the beating, was how he had scratched out that part of the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna really does carry what we lack. We don't have to have any fear that we might be not cared for. We might end up just in the streets. Even if we're in the streets, Krishna will be caring for us. I know one time we were going to Vrindavan, and I was thinking, where will we stay? What will we do? And immediately a devotee said, oh, you can stay at our apartment. And so many arrangements were made, and I thought, this is Krishna. He welcomes even people trying to be devotees. He welcomes them into his home. And another time in Vrindavan, there was some nonsense Western person was telling the shopkeeper, you know, that he had done wrong, he cheated him, and he was going on, and he was getting very aggressive with the man's wife, and because he wasn't there at the shop at the time. And he did something, like broke something or something, and then left. And when the man came back to his shop, he said, what's going on here? What's going on? He said, oh, this one devotee came and said this and that. And the man did nothing. He did nothing about it. And later my friend went and asked him, why didn't you call the police or something? He was getting so aggressive. I think he even hit the wife. And he said, no, these are all visitors to my Lord's home. And I'm just a servant here. Who am I to get angry with this other servant, this guest who has come into my Lord's home? So I was thinking, that is how we have to see, that we are really just guests here serving our Lord. And any other guest that comes, we have to take care of them and look after them, and just the same as Krishna looks after us. And also I was considering Raghunath Das Goswami, that Srila Prabhupada tells the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when he first went to Puri, he would stand on... Oh, first he was getting money from his parents because he'd left home and they were very wealthy. He was the only son. So they started sending money every month to him. And so he was making a big feast, inviting all the Vaishnavs in Puri to come and take prasad. And then one day, Lord Chaitanya said to Sarup Damodar, what's going on with Raghunath? He hasn't invited us to have prasad lately. He said, oh no, he thought, why am I taking this money from my father? I should be more depending on Krishna. So now he's standing on the gate, on the doorsteps of the temple, and when people pass by, sometimes they give him something, and that's what he's living on. I said, oh, that's very good. So then after a while, he didn't see him any longer standing at the gates or the opening of the temple. So he said to Srup Damodar, so now what is Raghunath doing? He's no longer there, I see him. So now how is he maintaining himself? He said, no, he was thinking, here I am standing here, and I'm thinking, will this person give me something? Ooh, that one didn't give anything. Now that one didn't give yesterday, maybe he'll give today. He said, so I was feeling like I'm just like a prostitute standing here, thinking, oh, this one will give to me, this one will. He said, so he gave that up. He said, so now how is he maintaining himself? He said, now he goes to the back of the temple where they throw out all the excess mahaprasad. And whatever the cows won't eat, he takes that rice home and he washes it, and that's what he eats for his prasad. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with that austerity. And that thinking, no, let me become more austere, let me depend more on Krishna, that he went to his home. And he said, Raghunath, I hear you're eating feasts every day and you're not inviting me. And he ate some of that thrown out rice that the cows wouldn't accept. So in this way, we also have to become dependent on the Lord. You know, whatever Krishna can give us. And as we get older, we have to become more dependent, more just accepting what Krishna's giving to us. The brahmanas here, always they have to accept. They just get charity. They can't work for a living. Although it does say later that they can take on the work of a Kshatriya or a Brahmana. Dronacharya actually himself, he only took up that profession of teaching because his son was getting no milk. And all the kids were teasing him. They'd say, "You want some milk?" And they would give him something that was white, like chalk water, and say, "Here's some milk," just to tease him. And he became so upset. And then the mother and father thought, okay, we must get some income so that we can give our son actually milk and a good diet. So then he took up that profession. So it's the same as here. He took up that profession simply because he needed more money. So he took up teaching. And the teaching profession can be taken up by any brahmana. But one thing I was thinking in this varnashram system is that each varna is dependent upon the other varna. It's not that only brahmins can live and live nicely by themselves. They can't. They need the kshatriyas to take care of the place that they're living so they can be peaceful to perform their meditations and sacrifices. They need the vaishyas to be making food grains and milking cows so that they can get sustenance. They need the shudras who are going to do work to take care of everything. So everyone in society. And there was one place I was reading, and I can't remember where it was, about how each of the varnas, they had a name given to them that meant a saintly person. Even the shudras had a certain name, and I wish I tried to find it, and I couldn't find it. But so they were all seen as important parts of the society, and they were all given respect. It's not like it only when the brahmanas became so proud, "Oh, we're brahmanas, you know, the rest of you are just no good," then the whole system started falling apart, and that started with Sringi. And we saw in Bhagavatam, it explains that. So every part of society has to be respected. It's not that they say, "Oh, you're just a sudra." You know, that's a Western mentality of we're higher and you're lower. You know, I've got money, so you're nobody because you're poor. And we see, actually, there's Ravindra Swarup Prabhu gave a lecture. It was a seminar, actually, on the Varnashram system. And it's on ISKCON Desire Tree. But at the end of the seminar, somebody asked, "So what are your predictions about how the world's going to go now? You know, now that it's broken down as far as the Varnashram." And so then he said, "Well, actually, Prabhupada wanted us to get this together. And if we actually got ourselves together, we could actually institute this Varnashram." He said, "But I think how it's going now," and this was many years ago that he gave this lecture, he said, "We're going to get businessmen to become president, and they'll be in all the positions, and they won't be giving in charity, because vaishyas should give in charity, that keeps them humble. But these vaishyas won't be giving in charity, and they'll be just being so cruel to everyone that things will just erupt in war." And I was thinking, that was such a, you know, you can see that happening now, you know. And when a vaishya gives no charity, he becomes really greedy and hard-hearted and cruel. And you can see that happening, you know. And there's no brahmanas to give anyone giving any instruction, they're just cast aside if they don't want to hear. There's no humility there. So every part of the Varnashram system has to have humility. You know, and there's checks and balances given. The Kshatriyas, they have to have Brahmanas to guide them. You know, they're taking in taxes, but they have to care for all the people that they're in charge of. They're considered like their children. And then the Vaishyas, they have to give in charity so do the Kshatriyas. This keeps them from becoming greedy and miserly. They have to give charity. And the Shudras, they have to accept what's given and serve all the other Varnas. And in that way, everyone becomes happy. I don't know if all of you have experienced trying to do a service that you're not good at or you're not inclined towards. And you're trying to do it, and you're trying to do it as best as you can, like me giving class. But it doesn't come up to the mark, and you feel really uncomfortable. But if you do something that you're naturally inclined to, it just is so easily done, and it comes out so nicely. And I think the Varnashram is like that, that you're trained in your Varna, and it's something that probably your parents have done, your grandparents have done, and they would carry on in that way. But always Krishna is the center of that society. So you're worshiping the Lord, and you're serving in society. So society is going higher because of the spiritual side, but they're also, it's connecting nicely so that everyone's living nicely in their different varnas. So the Varnashram system, that is why it's called the perfect system for society. And Krishna made it perfectly. Of course, we know everything he does is perfect. So if there's any questions or anything on that. Yes.
And just to show my ignorance, Prabhu, I'm wondering, the Kshatriyas, when they're giving charity, you were mentioning, so what I've read, a little bit I've read, you know, of Krishna book, they're always giving cows. Is there any other kind of charity that they give? And of course, the cows are a wonderful gift, I'm not saying it's a great gift.
If you look in the Mahabharata, when they were trying to perform the Rajasuya, all the brothers were sent to different places. Mm-hmm. And one of the places was where Arjun went. He got the name Dhananjaya because mm-hmm. he's the bringer of wealth. He went to this place where great sacrifices had been performed. And after the sacrifices, everything was distributed. And even gold plates, gold utensils for the artiks were all given away in charity.
Oh, wow.
But Srila Prabhupada explains that no one wanted to carry that. What does a brahmana want, a big, heavy, golden plate? So they would just leave it and then leave. So he went to this place and found all of this gold and brought back for this Rajasuya sacrifice. So it wasn't just cows. There was money, there was grains, there was whatever was in his position was given. Of course, money wasn't there like we know money, but you know, there were gold coins. And actually, yesterday I was listening and Prabhupada was talking about the gold standard. And it was on a morning walk and devotees were saying, well, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you said that this is a cheating, the way they do when they got away from the gold standard. This is Kali. And he said, yes, because now they can print money. Anyone can carry so much money. And this was before even somebody said, well, now they have credit cards. I thought, if you only knew, now they don't even use credit cards. They have it on their phone. They just stick their phone up to, you know, but it's getting away from real wealth. Gold, Prabhupada said, there's only a certain amount of gold. So no one can charge too much for things, right? And there's only a certain amount you could carry. It's heavy. I remember in South Africa, the school went to the gold mine and in Johannesburg. And then they had at the end, they had these gold bars and they said, okay, anyone who can pick this up can take it home. You know, so all the kids were like, you know, and there was no way you could pick it up. It was so heavy. And it looked small, but it was so heavy. So who could carry around tons of gold? It wouldn't happen. So it kept everything in check. There was no huge inflation like what we get now. You know, they just print more money and then more money's in the system. So So then they can charge more money for whatever they're selling. It's just corrupt. So that keeps things, a lid on things, so that it doesn't go sky high with food. I mean, sometimes in places where there's disaster, food goes so high that even the local people cannot afford. They can't afford the food. So it should never get to that. And that's why the gold standard keeps things in line and check. Did you?
Just a few comments. It stated that the brahmanas or the kshatriyas or so, in time of hardship, they may be able to take, for example, the brahmana, he may take the profession of a kshatriya. Just like we see Dronacharya, or even a kshatriya in times of hardship, he may take to the profession of vaishya. But of course, they have like different restrictions. And, yeah. This Varnashram system, it seems almost impossible in this age, very difficult. But because Srila Prabhupada desire it and feel that it should go on, then we're, as disciples, grand disciples, we're obliged and obligated to look into it. Mm-hmm. Even though we feel it might be difficult, but we should still try our best to see the merit, because our Fongacharya has desired it, and you know, he wanted to think. But sometimes people listen to class, many devotees would say it's impossible and so forth. But we know that for sure. But because our Fongacharya desired it and, you know, wanted to be propagated, then we show interest in it. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's very difficult in this age, really. Even, especially in the West too, you know. Maybe in the East it might be a little easier, but you know, like that. And one other comment with Ashwatthama, when he was the boys used to grind rice and make it into milk and give him, and he would be happy that he got milk, you know, because he never, and so they used to tease him like that.
I know.
You know, yeah.
And how embarrassing for his family.
When you were mentioning humility, you mentioned for the kshatriyas that they had the humility because they were advised by the Brahmins, and then with the Vaishyas and the Sudras, but you didn't mention the Brahmins' humility. So I was wondering if you could comment.
I thought that the Brahmins' humility is what we read, that they aren't allowed to make a big living. They have to keep themselves very simply and just teach the others and accept whatever donations come. You know, they're not allowed to just become wealthy, make money, and become wealthy. And it's said that whatever comes in then also has to go out. They always keep themselves in a impoverished situation so that they don't become proud of their wealth. And you see wealth, actually, it was funny, the other day, I don't know where I was, I was listening to this, I don't know if you know these TED Talks. You ever, anyway, they were talking about wealth and how corrupting wealth is. And these psychologists at Stanford University or something did this test on how wealth changes people's, how they see others and treat others and see themselves. And one of the tests was that they played Monopoly. And it was a rigged game, and everybody playing knew that it was rigged. But one person started off with a bunch of money, and the others started off with hardly any. And they said, within minutes of the game going, the ones that started off with more money are slapping their marker down on the board harder, and they're kind of going, how much do you have now? Oh, is that all? Oh. You know, and acting like they're wealthy, even though they knew that this game had already been rigged from the beginning. And they said afterwards, they were acting like they were wealthy, you know. And they did this other thing where they put up a camera at a stop sign, and they hid in the bushes with this camera, and they watched the cars go through, you know, and it was a crosswalk as well as a stop sign. And they said, without one exception, all the wealthy cars just drove right through without even stopping. And all the poorer cars would stop, look, and then go. And they had a couple others as well, and I was thinking, and they said, this is the power of wealth. It makes one proud. Oh, another one was, they put all these people, some wealthy people and poor people, in this room, and there was this tray of candy sitting there, right? And they said, this candy is for some young students that are coming to get some other evaluation, so don't touch it, just leave it there for them. And they'd go out of the room, and they had cameras looking. And the wealthy people would take and put some in their pockets, and the other people would leave it and not touch it. And they were saying, we're not saying that wealth will make everyone like that, but it has a tendency. So with the brahmanas, they keep themselves poor so that they don't have that influence of that I'm so great. And that was the problem, that the Brahmins started thinking that they were better than everyone else in society, and that they started naming people untouchables, you know, and they lost respect because they became wealthy in themselves by taking in charity, and they lost everything.
There's a saying about what the wealth of the Brahmins is. You remember?
Austerities. Yes, they perform austerities.
Because it's interesting, in each different varna, there's a different type of wealth.
Yes, yes, so. And a different type of austerity. Yeah. So I wanted, okay, sorry. That's okay.
I just wanted to know, how do you respond to the fact that when you see that Krishna is just giving you everything when you don't have anything, how do you respond to the fact that you feel so in debt?
That's good. We should feel indebted to the spiritual master and to Krishna always. That's a good feeling. You know, feeling indebted brings humility, and that's good. That's what we are looking for. Because really, we should understand that everything we have, Krishna is giving. And to be put in that situation, Sudama Brahman was put in that situation, right? He went with his little chipped rice to see Krishna, and he didn't even want to give it to him. Then finally Krishna snatched it and ate some. And when he went home, oh my gosh, his house became a palace, his wife was like the goddess of fortune. But he was worried about that. On the way home, he was thinking, oh, you know, if I get a lot of wealth, then I would become so puffed up. I'm so glad Krishna gave me nothing, you know. But he just kept remembering, let me always remember that everything I have, Krishna has given. It's not me. You know, then humility can come. So that's the best position to be in, really.
Thank you. Please forgive me, but I just wanted to add that, because she asked how do we respond to it, because my understanding is Srila Prabhupada did say that the only way, you cannot really pay off the debt, but there is a way we have to try to repay.
Yes.
And he said you have to preach, you have to share this, so we do have to act upon, I think, that feeling of that we have a debt and we do have to try to repay.
Yes.
So anyway, I just wanted
yes.
to...
Actually, Srila Prabhupada wrote me a letter, because I gave him dakshin for my initiation, and that was in his letter, that you can never repay the spiritual master for what he's given, but you must try to serve in this mission and spread Krishna consciousness around. There's no repayment, like you said. There's no way we can repay it, but yes, we must take part. Okay, and I just wanted to say a little bit about Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, he's a great acharya in our line, because when during the time when first the Buddhists had taken over and everything became one, then Shankaracharya came and he tried to bring it back to the Vedas, but it was still monism. At this time, Ramanujacharya was born, when this was going on, at this point. And he was a student under, what's his name, Yadava Prakash, I think. And this was in Kanchi. And his family was an aristocratic Brahmin family that he came from. So they sent him to this school. And he was teaching Shankaracharya's philosophy in the school. And so when he was going through the Vedanta Sutra, and he came to one sutra which was explaining how the Lord's eyes are reddish like lotus petals, this Yadava Prakash said it was reddish, it meant reddish like the posterior of a monkey. So when Ramanuja heard this, he became so upset. And he immediately said, no, I think you have this wrong. You know, this is saying that the Lord's eyes are like lotuses and reddish like the lotus flower. And he said, who are you? You're just a student here. Why are you correcting me? So then a bit later again, he made some comment to the teacher, said something, and he said, no, it's not really meant like that. It can also be described like this. He became so angry. You are such an upstart. You're a young boy, and you're trying to tell me I'm a teacher here. This is the pride of the Brahmana. You know, how dare you correct me like this? So he got up, and he said, start your own school if you think you're so intelligent. So Ramanujacharya got up and left quietly and started his own school. But this Yadava Prakash became really worried that he's such a powerful preacher and such an intelligent boy. He was like his favorite student. He thought, what? He's going to start spreading this devotional service, this bhakti, that the Lord is a person. And he might start ruining all of our preaching of Shankaracharya. You know, and so then he thought, you know, the way that he's making, after a while, he had so many people coming to hear from him and changing into personalism that he thought, this is actually a heretic, so we need to kill him. We need to kill him. So he got a bunch of his students and he told them the plan, and they're going to go on a pilgrimage to the Ganges, and they'll invite him to come along, and in the forest we'll just get rid of him. And this is doing our society a favor, because he's actually teaching the wrong thing. So they all agreed, yes, we should do this. And somehow his cousin came along as well, Ramanujacharya's cousin, and he heard this plan. So he went and told Ramanuja, you need to leave now, because they're planning to kill you. So Ramanujacharya left and he went back to Kanchi. And his cousin said, oh, you know, while we were in the forest, a tiger came and grabbed him and ran off with him. So he must have died. I can't think of what else happened. So they were all satisfied. Okay, he's dead. We don't have to worry anymore. But Ramanuja went back to Kanchi and started teaching more and more. And this Yadava Prakash, when he came back and saw him there preaching, he couldn't believe his eyes. He couldn't believe it. So then he actually, him and his disciples became his disciple. And then later on, he was preaching so vigorously, and so many people wanted to come hear from him, that Jamunacharya came to hear. And he came to visit, and of course, Ramanujacharya served him, brought him to his home and served him so nicely, and asked, can I become initiated by you? So he took initiation from Jamunacharya, Ramanujacharya. And at the time of Jamunacharya's death, his disciples told him, of course, they didn't have text or telephone or Wi-Fi or anything. So it took someone going to tell him, your spiritual master is dying, you should come. And so as soon as he got the word, he went there. And he saw Jamunacharya had just left at that time. And he had his fingers like he was in meditation. But his right hand he held in a fist. And when Ramanujacharya saw that, he was going, why is he holding his hand like that? So he thought, he is waiting for me to take my vows. So he said, his first vow was, I will protect the people in general who are deluded by impersonalism by bestowing upon them the nectar of surrender. And then Jamunacharya's first finger came out. And then he said, for the well-being of all the people of the world, I will prepare a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that will establish the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal and reality. So then the second finger came out. And then his third vow was, and in order to honor Parashara Muni, who established the relationship between the Jivas and the Ishwara, the Supreme Godhead, I will name one of my disciples who is very learned and devoted after him. And then the third finger came out. And everyone that was there was in shock. He has already left. How is this happening? So they accepted him immediately as the leader of the Vaishnavas. And at that time, it was the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. They worship Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, and Lakshmi Devi. And their teachings is to be the servant of the Lord, like Lakshmi Devi, to serve the Lord. They don't get into the other, like Krishna as a friend or as a lover, or they don't go there. It's just Vishnu and you're the servant. Okay, then he remained in Sri Rangam. He moved his family there. And later he took sannyas. He carried a tridanda. And the tridanda, as we know, is three sticks, which our sannyasis also carry. And their vows to serve God with the mind, body, and speech. The more powerful he became, now he's the head of the whole Sri Sampradaya, and his preaching is so powerful. It's said that after that incident with his guru, he became even more powerful in his preaching. And more people from all kinds of walks of life were coming to surrender to him. So the impersonalists, the Shankarites, became very worried. This is the end of our reigning. So they went to the king and they said, you've got to do something about this. This man is destroying our whole philosophy. He needs to be stopped. So the king sent word there that he should come for a debate in Kanchi, back to Kanchi. So one of his disciples, Koresh, said, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. There's something bad. I'm going in your place. He said, no, I will go. And he said, no, you can't go. Give me your dress. You take my white cloth, and I'll take your sannyas garb, and I'll go there. And sure enough, as soon as he got there, they began to badger him. You must change back to Shankaracharya's vision of monism. You can't preach this. This is heretic. And then, when he wouldn't refute Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Vishnu as the Supreme Person, then they said, take him to the prison and blind him, burn out his eyes. So they took Koresh and they blinded him with hot coals, burnt out his eyes. And then they threw him out into the forest. And they thought, okay, this is the end of their sampradaya. You know, this won't go on. So some people who heard about what the king had done took him back to Rangakshetra, to Ramanujacharya. And he was so upset by what had happened to Koresh that he took him in front of the deity of Vishnu there. And he prayed, please give him back his eyesight. And it said that his eyesight came back after that prayer of Ramanuja to the deity. He got his eyesight back. And then he just went on to keep preaching and preaching. And he was unstoppable. And that's how the Sri Sampradaya, that's how Vaishnavism got started again after the Buddhism and then the Lord Shiva's. Then came Ramanuja, and he instilled Vaishnavism, the personality of Godhead, that he's a person and not just we're all equal. And that there's equality and difference was another one of his teachings, that, yeah, there's two. That there's the jiva, and we're alike in quality, but different in quantity. So we're not God. Then he lived to be 120 years old, and he decided that he had had enough. He'd done everything that he had set out to do. He did. He took all of his vows that he had taken before his guru had been fulfilled, and so now he was ready to go back to the spiritual world. And he gave last instructions to his followers, which I thought I would read to you. They were very nice. He said, always remain in the company of and serve those souls devoted to Godhead, just as you would serve your own spiritual preceptors. Have faith in the teaching of the Vedas and in the words of the great saints. Never become the slave of the senses. Always strive to conquer the three great enemies to self-realization. What are the three great enemies? Lust, anger, and greed. Worship Narayan and take pleasure in uttering the holy names of the Lord as your only refuge. Sincerely serve the devotees of the Godhead. By service to the great devotees, the highest service is done, and one quickly gains the supreme mercy. Remembering these things, you should always live happily in this world for the attainment of the next world. Ramanujacharya ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.